but when the Roman people loudly demanded a greater number of victims, the conqueror resisted with firmness and humanity those servile clamors, which were dictated by flattery as well as by resentment. Informers were punished and discouraged. The innocent who had suffered under the late tyranny were recalled from exile and restored to their estates. A general act of oblivion quieted the minds and settled the property of the people both in Italy and in Africa. The first time that Constantine honored the Senate with his presence, he recapitulated his own services and exploits in a modest oration, assured that illustrious order of his sincere regard, and promised to re-establish its ancient dignity and privileges. The grateful Senate repaid these unmeaning professions by the empty titles of honor, which it was yet in their power to bestow. And without presuming to ratify the authority of Constantine, they passed a decree to assign him the first rank among the three Augusti who governed the Roman world. The final abolition of the Praetorian Guards was a measure of prudence as well as of revenge. Those haughty troops, whose numbers and privileges had been restored and even augmented by Maxentius, were forever suppressed by Constantine. Their fortified camp was destroyed, and the few Praetorians who had escaped the fury of the sword were dispersed among the legions and banished to the frontiers of the empire, where they might be serviceable without again becoming dangerous. After the defeat of Maxentius, the victorious emperor passed no more than 2 or 3 months in Rome, which he visited twice during the remainder of his life, to celebrate the solemn festivals of the 10th and of the 20th years of his reign. Constantine was almost perpetually in motion, to exercise the legions or to inspect the state of the provinces. Treves, Milan, Aquileia, Sirmium, Nisus, and Thessalonica were the occasional places of his residence till he founded a new Rome on the confines of Europe and Asia. The Roman world was now divided between Constantine and Licinius, the former of whom was master of the west and the latter of the east. It might perhaps have been expected that the conquerors, fatigued with civil war and connected by a private as well as public alliance, would have renounced, or at least would have suspended, any farther designs of ambition. And yet a year had scarcely elapsed after the death of Maximin, before the victorious emperors turned their arms against each other.
Constantine and Licinius fought their first battle near Cybalis, a city in the Pannonia region. Licinius fled the field and was beaten in a second engagement on the plain of Mardia in Thrace.
The successive defeats of Licinius had ruined his forces, but they had displayed his courage and abilities. His situation was almost desperate, but the efforts of despair are sometimes formidable, and the good sense of Constantine preferred a great and certain advantage to a third trial of the chance of arms. He consented to leave his rival, or as he again styled Licinius, his friend and brother, in the possession of Thrace, Asia Minor, Syria, and Egypt. But the provinces of Pannonia, Dalmatia, Dacia, Macedonia, and Greece were yielded to the Western Empire, and the dominions of Constantine now extended from the confines of Caledonia to the extremity of Peloponnesus. It was stipulated by the same treaty that 3 royal youths, the sons of the emperors, should be called to the hopes of the succession. Crispus and the young Constantine were soon afterwards declared Caesars in the west, while the younger Licinius was invested with the same dignity in the east. In this double proportion of honours, the conqueror asserted the superiority of his arms and power.
But peace lasted a scant 8 years before Constantine determined once and for all to unite the whole empire under his one person. He laid siege to Byzantium.
A considerable part of his victorious army was transported over the Bosphorus in small vessels, and the decisive engagement was fought soon after their landing on the heights of Chrysopolis, or, as it is now called, of Scutari. The troops of Licinius, though they were lately raised, ill-armed and worse disciplined, made head against their conquerors with fruitless but desperate valour, till a total defeat and the slaughter of 25,000 men irretrievably determined the fate of their leader. He retired to Nicomedia, rather with a view of gaining some time for negotiation than with the hope of any effectual defence. Constantia, his wife, and the sister of Constantine, interceded with her brother in favour of her husband, and obtained from his policy, rather than from his compassion, a solemn promise, confirmed by an oath,
在线英语听力室，感谢您的收听，请记住我们的网址 www.thingroom.com。